So this morning we're going to talk briefly about what John Wesley thought about what it would mean to stay in love with God. And I'm going to read to you from the prophet Malachi, just one verse from the third chapter. Now Malachi is preaching at a time when the exiles have returned to Jerusalem. And actually, in terms of idolatry, they were doing pretty well. They were pretty reformed. They knew that God was their God. But apart from that, they weren't attending to any of the other parts of their faith that would help them grow in their relationship with God, that would help them to stay in love with God. And so Malachi is speaking to them, and he says to them, "Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." This is the word of God for us, the people of God, today. You know, God's love is so good, and God's love is infinite. Infinite. God is constantly drawing each and every person. That means you and you and you, right? God is drawing you and you and you all into this relationship of love. Do you remember just having a taste of what God's grace was like? Or just think of a time when you just had a taste of God's grace. It's kind of like, you remember the Lay's potato chip commercial that said you just can't eat just one, right? You wanted more. Or that the Kit Kat commercial, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar, right? You just had to have just a little bit more. And that's how it is with God's grace. Well, John Wesley used these words from Malachi to proclaim and to say that we as a church, we need to remember how it is that we can stay in love with God. We need to remember the things that we can do so that we too can stay devoted and in love with God. Always, John Wesley was encouraging the church to steer away from sin. He believed that there were lots of times that we might actually need to be waiting on God. Have you ever had to do that? Just wait on God. You're waiting on God for an answer. That you're waiting for God's love to be revealed more fully. The times that you are waiting, it doesn't matter, whatever thing it is that you hope that God will help you with, and you're still waiting for that. Well, God doesn't mean that we should just sit back and do nothing while we're waiting. John Wesley would say that we can still be shaped and formed in God's relationship if we attended to what he called were the means of grace. The means of grace are the way that we stay in love with God. And the means of grace are these outward signs and words and actions, things that we can do that might convey God's grace back to us. Okay, so they're things that we actually can attend to, that God might give us grace in. It makes good sense that we would put ourselves in a position for God to convey grace to us, right? If we're turning around with our backs turned, we're never going to get it. If we're just waiting and sitting there, we're never going to get it. But there are things, and John Wesley would say the things that are most important, he would say searching the scriptures. That was what he called Bible study. How about that? Searching the scriptures was a way to convey God's grace. Praying, fasting, and spiritual friendship. So those were four mighty ways that John Wesley believed every single day we could attend to God's grace, that we could receive God's grace if we would spend time searching Scripture, if we would spend time praying, fasting, growing in a closer relationship with God. Well, you know, this is kind of a no-brainer for us, right? Most of you are aware that those are good things to do in our Christian life. But are you aware that you can receive God's love in them every day, the fullness of God's love in them every single day? Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, we have lots of opportunity for that here. Our Wednesday night Bible study is a wonderful opportunity to do that. Our adult Sunday school is a wonderful opportunity. And remember, this year, our listening group, the listening group is all about praying and waiting and listening for God and using Scripture to understand how God's love and grace is being conveyed. In fact, in Scripture, we can read where it says, imagine God, okay? Now, what father or anyone who had a child that asked for a piece of bread would refuse of that bread, right? What parent out there, even what friend out there, would refuse a piece of bread to someone who asked for it? Then if we realize that reality, how much more is our Father in heaven going to give good things to those that ask for it? So we can be sure that God will provide means for us to receive His grace on a regular basis. Now, two ways that the church celebrates the way grace is conveyed is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And I'm just briefly going to talk about them. You know, in other traditions, there are more sacraments. But in the Protestant tradition, we only honor baptism and the Lord's Supper as sacraments. And the reason for that is that every Christian can receive baptism and the Lord's Supper. Not all Christians are called to marriage. Not all Christians are called to ordination. Not all Christians are going to need anointing for healing. But every Christian can receive the grace that's conveyed through baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so that's why we celebrate them as our sacraments. They were also instituted for us by Christ. Jesus Christ taught us how to share in those sacraments. The Bible has lots of stories of people who grew in a very special relationship with God through covenant, okay? This covenant relationship is what we celebrate in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. In the Old Testament, we read how, remember, Moses was set adrift and he was drawn from the water. We read how the Israelites were delivered through the Red Sea. Well, those stories are the same stories that make meaning for us as we are delivered through the waters of God's grace in our baptism, that we actually follow the tradition of the Hebrews in understanding God's deliverance through our baptism, and we are delivered into a family of God. We are delivered into brothers and sisterhood everywhere, especially as children of God. We remember that we are the brother or sister to Jesus Christ, and so that is a huge gift to us. In the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper is a continuation of the tradition. Remember the Passover meal? The Passover meal was when they put the blood over the doorposts of their home. We too put the blood over the doorpost of our home, right? As we take the juice at communion time, as we drink in the body and blood of Christ. In the Passover, they broke bread and ate unleavened bread quickly. We too eat bread to share in that bread with one another, to be strengthened on the journey. So the Lord's Supper is again a continuation of this tradition of God, the one God, the God Almighty, who came to deliver and begin a new kingdom on heaven and earth. Now, Jesus broke bread with people both before and after his resurrection. So it's really, you know, remarkable and a good thing. Remember the miracle of Jesus feeding the 4,000 and 5,000? And actually, he didn't do the feeding. Do you know what he did? He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and he said, here, you feed the crowds, right? You're the ones to feed the crowds. I'm blessing the bread and I'm breaking it. but you're going to feed them. Well, after his resurrection, he also was recognized in the breaking of the bread. He'd walk along with folks and they wouldn't know who he was. And disciples on the road to Emmaus sat down to have a meal with him. And as soon as he broke the bread, they realized it was the risen Christ. And so here at this table, we too recognize the risen Christ in our midst. We remember the blessing of becoming a new kingdom, a new spiritual family in God, that when we break bread with others, we understand that we are all part of one big spiritual family, and that we acknowledge we're all here by God's design. Each one of us are here because God called us. His Spirit brought us in here today. At the Last Supper, Jesus broke bread with his friends. And so we too come in to break bread with friends who are the Christian community of our day. All are invited to participate at this table. All are invited to have our faith strengthened at this table. This is the Lord's table. We come to this table and we kneel at the table, and we come just as we are. We come when we're burdened with sin. We come when we know that parts of us are broken. And we come and we receive the bread here to be nourished by the presence of Christ, granted to us through the Holy Spirit, so that this spiritual energy will strengthen us for the task that God has called us to. And through this holy food, we are able to press on further in our own Christian discipleship. It's at this table that we are able to love our neighbor. Jesus prayed that we might be one, that we might be one in spirit and one in mission, in union and communion with each other and with each of you. So today, as we come to this table, know that each one of us is invited. As we come and we humbly confess the areas that we need forgiveness for those failures that we have dealt with, that we at times haven't been able to offer unity to another or accomplish unity in our communities. So we set aside this time to come and be strengthened so that the next time we might be able to do better. We ask God to give us a mind that will accept and celebrate our differences and our unity. That God will give us a heart large enough to love all children everywhere. And we thank you, O God, for setting a table with space enough for each of us. The Lord's table is a place where all are invited.